Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers. I'm Cy Killett, your host. Thanks for joining us. Everything's all right, Darren? Darren looks a little bit panicked, but we're glad to have you here.
There's no women here today.
On this, yes, we are missing women. Mm-hmm. Yeah, except for one. We have one great woman, one that always makes Friday a special day. And we got a really good show for you today. The second hour, we're going to do the game show. We've got two wonderful contestants for the game show, and we've got our secret, super secret guest. That's Carlo Broussard. Will be our super secret guest this time. So we'll have a lot of fun, Friday fun, the second hour. First hour, Rose Sweet is here. Rose, a noted speaker and author on many Catholic topics, but often you will hear Rose speaking and writing about marriage, about relationships, certainly about annulments. That's part of her ministry. Rose, welcome.
It's good to be here today.
What were you doing last night, Rose?
I was in my room on my iPad watching live stream of the awesome debate between Bert and Jimmy.
And what did you think?
It was awesome.
I'm so glad that you watched it because I really wanted to start the show talking about it a little bit. So I made Edgar come in because I thought he would talk about it.
Hi, Edgar.
But, hi. How are you?
We've never introduced Edgar to the audience. Edgar is our new director of podcasting and assistant to the host.
Assistant
to the host.
Well, same thing.
It's not the same thing. We're
Edgar's really nice. I met him last time I was here.
He's a tiny little guy, isn't he? He's a little tiny little
He told me he was your bouncer.
Well, they were like, this is what, they were in a meeting and somebody goes, well, what if we need security at the debate? Everyone just looks at Edgar like,
It's not the first time that
people
happened.
People just assume you're going to, well, thank you both for being here. So give me your impression of the debate. What'd you think? Because we talked about it a lot and I want to let people know how it went.
Okay, it was great. It was interesting. Both parties were intelligent and articulate, but Jimmy nailed it. He was so cool and calm. And one of the things that stirred up a lot of conversation on the internet is he thought that maybe Joseph may have had two homes.
Oh, did that go crazy on the internet?
It went crazy. People thought, he wasn't rich. How could he afford two homes? Right. No, people in my area, like itinerant farm workers out in the Coachella Valley, they have a home in Mexico, and they have a home in the Coachella Valley, and they might even have one up in Bakersfield. They're family homes. They spend time there working in the field, then they come back down in the season. So there was a lot of good discussion that Jimmy posited something that we can't prove, but was reasonable.
But it's perfectly reasonable.
It was
and
reasonable.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing that I got on the takeaway. What about you, Edgar?
I think the one thing that really stood out to me was how cordial they were. A lot of times you get
that was true. That
the
was
debates
very
get very heated, but both of them were very kind to each other. And another thing that I learned about Jimmy is how strong of a high fiver he is.
That high five, I thought he had hurt someone. Poor Bart on that high five.
Can I say one more thing? What I loved about Jimmy is he introduced this lots of science fiction into the topic.
Star Trek came up.
And before that, the TARDIS, the time machine, in his slides, his PowerPoint slides.
Right.
But, you know, who else used common stories and analogies to convey deep truths?
Right.
Our Lord Jesus. So Jimmy was very Christ-like last night.
Yeah, he was. And I just thought the whole thing was wonderful. Now, I spent, because I had to moderate. I've never moderated a debate before.
You were fabulous.
Thank you. I don't even have a 10 on me. I usually owe you a 10 for that kind of thing. But nervous all week about it. And I would talk to Carlo about it. Carlo would be like, how are you doing on the debate prep? And I'd be like, so nervous. I never moderated a debate before. And he goes, yeah, you should be. No, he didn't say that. He was very encouraging. All I was worried about was I'm going to fail at the timekeeping. I'm not going to get the timekeeping right.
You were great. You were right on.
Was I, Edgar?
Sorry, I lost track of time there.
There was one section where I completely lost track of time. And I thought, this is the thing I was worried about all week, and I'm doing it right in front of the world.
I know, but like Jimmy said, don't pay attention to those little things.
Yeah,
as long as the big things go okay, we're good.
I will say that Cy has the most difficult role because he has to sit in front of hundreds of people and not have to do anything.
Not do anything.
Yeah.
It is weird. It's very weird. Like try to act natural. I'm just listening to a debate, and you're why am I on the stage? So, yeah, it was really good. I hope people will watch it. You can go over to YouTube and just go to the Catholic Answers page. Go to YouTube, put in the words Catholic Answers. It'll take you to the Catholic Answers page, and then you'll see this debate. Thousands and thousands of people have watched it. Do you have any idea what the number is?
I think last I checked, it was about 13 or 14,000 views.
13 or 14,000
people. It was rich with common sense and logic. It was really beautiful in that regard. It really was.
One thing that I did notice about the tactics on both sides, I feel as though Dr. Ehrman was focusing a lot of his understanding of scripture from the evangelical perspective. So when he came into to debate with a Catholic, a lot of the things that he was saying don't necessarily apply to the Catholic understanding of scripture. And the approach of it, because what Jimmy was doing in the beginning was saying he actually agrees with us on all these points. We actually don't disagree too much. It's a lot of the nuances where we disagree.
Yeah, I thought so too, that it seemed like Dr. Ehrman was kind of had a concept of the Gospels that comes from a kind of fundamentalism that says every word is exactly how everything exactly happened, whereas a Catholic has what I would call, and that's, a fundamentalist might say an unfaithful view, but a Catholic would say a more nuanced view, which is to say it's all true, it's all communicated in that idiom, yeah, truly, but you have to understand the idiom of ancient biography and the way the ancient writers write in order to get how that is. I think Dr. Ehrman wanted to debate whether the Sermon on the Mount, that Matthew collected
little
sayings of Jesus to make one long sermon. And Jimmy was like, yeah, that's probably what he did. You know, that's not a Catholic doesn't have a problem with that.
Right.
Because we understand that that's not lying. That's the way you did things when you wrote a biography in those days. You'd have the section where you'd collect up the sayings, and he collects up the moral sayings, and then he collects up the prophetic sayings of Jesus. But Dr. Ehrman seemed to think that that was Jimmy admitting that the Gospels are unreliable, but I didn't think so. So I take your point.
It's like creation. It's like we're allowed to imagine how God made creation, you know, happen.
Yeah.
And there's no one rigid way. There's the broad sense that we understand. You know what? And here's the bottom line. What you're saying is, at some level, we have to always acknowledge the mind-blowing mystery of God and the mystery of truth, and that we can know a lot, but we're not going to know every single thing.
Right.
And we got to be okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That comes from that thing that you were mentioning before about Joseph. Why does one gospel say Joseph's home is in Bethlehem and another says that Joseph's home is in Nazareth? And Jimmy's saying, you know, basically the family home is in Bethlehem, but Joseph has gone to live with Mary in Nazareth. So that's two homes. Well, we don't have proof that that's what it was. It's just that's a plausible explanation. Why would you treat that as a problem when it's not really a problem?
Details are so important, but we can get very lost in them.
Yeah.
So there's that tension.
What do you think of Edgar, our new guy?
I love him. He's handsome. He's smart.
You can say that again. Keep
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know what?
It's so funny because I don't find you handsome at all.
Shut up.
Sorry.
And you know what? He's lasted this long at Catholic Answers. He has to be a very strong man of virtue.
Well, I'm glad you allowed him to come in and talk about this because I've been trying to find an opportunity to introduce him to everybody. We've had him. He's been here for months now, and he's fit right. Don't you think, Darren? He's just like fit right in. He's like a wonderful piece of the Catholic Answers family now. And I salute you, sir.
Thank you,
sir. Return to your post, sir.
Will do. All right. I'll go back to my callers.
All right. I know. When I give a lot of books away, you're making me work it now.
Speaking of books,
will you sign your brand new book that I just got?
Oh, come on.
St. Irenaeus and the Goblet of Fire. Will you sign it for me, please?
Nobody knows what you're talking about. The people don't even know the joke.
No, I was surprised when I came in here.
That's not right.
What?
I'm going to a break now. I'm so upset. I'm going to a break and we'll start the show.
I don't get this.
All right, I'll sign it. Right back. We're with Rose Sweet. We're going to talk about the marriage bond today with Rose Sweet. Your calls are welcome. 888-318-7884.
Catch Catholic Answers live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
are you listening to EWTN Radio right now? Have you ever wished you could listen on a local radio station? Maybe our Lord is speaking to your heart to help make that happen. Don't let a lack of experience hold you back. Find out how you can help start a Catholic radio station where you live. Powered by the truth of the church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming. Email Steve at this address, radio@EWTN.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I wanted to spend a little time talking about the debate last night because it was a big deal, and we really promoted him. I want to let you know how it went. Jimmy did a fantastic job. I really did think Jimmy carried the day, but Dr. Bart Ehrman was very gracious. He was a wonderful guest and a good sport, too, because he polled the room at one point, said, how many of you are Catholic? And it was almost all Catholics. I really thought more that non-Catholics were going to come, but we pretty much filled the room with Catholics. So that's, you know, for the position that he was arguing, that the Gospels are not reliable, that's a tough room. But I thought he was gracious, and I'm really, really glad we did it. And Jimmy won. But, you know, it's not about who wins or who loses.
No, but
Jimmy won.
Jimmy did an excellent job.
Yeah.
As usual.
Okay, so here's the thing I want to talk with you about today, if we could move now to that. The marriage bond, Rose. We talk about annulments. We talk about counseling. We talk about, contraceptives and natural family planning. But we don't talk enough about what is the marriage bond. What makes a marriage bond?
It's a really beautiful part of our church teaching that we also get from scripture and tradition. We didn't just, you know, pull this out of our hat. It's really beautiful. So I wanted to ask you if, when you met Missy.
Yes.
Your wife.
Right.
How long had you known her before you started dating?
Well, we started dating when we were 25.
Yeah.
And we met in fourth grade.
Oh, so, okay. This is perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. So you and Missy actually had a friendship bond as young as fourth grade.
Well, no. She thought I was a nerd for the entire time until we were... Well,
could you just fake it and we had a lovely friendship bond.
Yes. No, okay. No, there's no question. I'm sorry. I was teasing around, but
okay.
Yes, we did.
And did you go to the same school?
We did. We went to high school together.
Okay, so you had a high school bond, and you had a social bond, and a community bond, and being of the same age. So you already, before you got married, certain bonds were forming between you, bonds being ties that pull and keep two people together. And we know if you moved and never saw her again, maybe that bond would be broken.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
But as you progressed and you asked her out on a date, there was a romantic bond. And then I'm sure as soon as you kissed her for the first time, there was a chemistry bond.
I don't want to talk about this.
Oh, this is important.
Very uncomfortable.
No, you should love this stuff.
Okay. Well,
this is beautiful. This is what it is to be human.
I didn't say I don't love it. I said I don't want to talk about
it. Okay, I'm not going to go into details.
Okay.
Don't worry.
All right, go ahead.
So now you're just forming bond upon bond upon bond. Now, we know that you were chaste and you got married the right way, but let's say you were a couple who didn't, and you ended up having sex together outside marriage. Now you have a very powerful sexual bond, more chemical bonds, and with that comes deeper emotional bonds, soul ties, they call it sometimes.
Right.
And let's say you moved in together, and now you share a lease, and now you have legal bonds, and you pay utilities and buy groceries. And if she became pregnant outside of wedlock, you would have the first unbreakable bond throughout all eternity.
That's eternity.
That's a parental bond. You will forever be the parents of that new human life.
Right.
Look at all these long and various bonds that have been building between you and bringing you together and tying you. And so you have these social bonds, legal bonds, sexual bond, parental bond. Do you have a marriage bond?
No.
No.
So what? I see what you're saying. So now we're left with the question: What is the marriage bond then?
You
can have all those other things, and you still don't have a marriage bond.
Yes, and this is why some people get confused. It's just a piece of paper, and that's not that you may look married and feel married and be living as married together, but not be married. So this is why the church in her wisdom is like hanging on to this truth for dear life, and we're going to talk about it today. What makes the marriage bond? It's a unique bond between people that's like no other human bond. You don't marry your children. You don't marry your dad. You don't marry grandma. Marriage is unique to a man and a woman who make a covenant with each other, an unbreakable bond. Only death can break it. Unbreakable bond. The marriage bond is unbreakable.
Okay, so unbreakable is, first of all, that's terrifying to people these days. I know it's terrifying. I mean, I guess it's always been somewhat terrifying to people, but I really do think we've done something to the younger folks that they are petrified of this.
Well, and the older folks are petrified too. I mean, I work with a lot of older single people or even married people or divorced, and that permanence is terrifying because there's no escape hatch. That's the way they think.
There's no escape hatch, yeah.
That's not true. When things get bad and difficult or painful, we have remedies, and the church allows us to do certain things to take care of ourselves. But let's talk about who we look to find out what a marriage bond is.
Okay. And that would be?
You guess. Who shows us everything that we need to know about everything?
Oh, well, all right, now I know. Jesus.
Okay, so we look to Christ, the bridegroom, right?
Yes.
And the way he loves his bride.
Right.
And from Scripture we get, and I've said this before, and you've probably heard this before, he makes a covenant with us, his bride, that is free, full, faithful, and fruitful. Free, nobody makes him lay his life down for us. Nobody makes him give himself totally to us. It's free. He has no agenda, no
right.
pressure from his mother.
Yeah.
You know, nothing like that. He freely can say yes or no to this bond with his bride. And when he makes this covenant and he consents to this kind of union with her, it's full. Nothing is held back. Nothing held back. No prenups, no conditions. He gives his very life
that's right.
on the
that's
cross.
That's right, yeah. That's a wonderful way to think about it. No prenups or conditions.
That's right.
Utterly surrendered for
so
to
it's
us.
Free and it's full and it is faithful. And we tend to think that fidelity is just sexual fidelity. Oh, yeah, I got married. I have to be faithful to my husband or my wife. But it's also emotional fidelity.
Oh, yes, right.
I can't tell you how many people I've worked with, some women, but mostly men, who have a primary bond with their mothers.
Oh, and that's unfaithful to the wife.
And they attempt marriage with some young gal, and now there's three in the marriage, and for years, if there's ever anything between the two women, mother will come first.
Yeah.
So that's what we call an impediment. He either didn't intend to completely give himself and be faithful to his wife, or he intended, but he wasn't able to.
Mm-hmm.
So our Lord, his union with us and the bond that comes from that covenant is free, full, faithful, and fruitful. Life-giving, open, receptive to life, alive. This is the kind of love we all want. I mean, call in right now if you do not want to be married to somebody who loves you freely, fully, faithfully, and fruitfully.
Right.
That's what we want. And that's what we have. And that's where the church says, when two people get to the altar, okay, here's the big thing. When does the bond come into being?
Yeah, that's the thing is, because as I'm hearing you talking about it, I'm like, well, but I, like, friendships are free. They're not, you know.
Yes.
And they have these other aspects to some degree. You know, you have to be faithful to your friends. You don't have to be like talking behind their back or, you know, stealing
from them.
As
Jimmy would
say,
I agree with you.
But I always know I'm in trouble when Jimmy agrees with me. I always know something else is coming. So do you see what I'm saying? You said that you were going to tell me how the marriage bond is different from every other bond that we make,
okay.
Every other relationship bond.
I am not a biologist, but I know that I am a woman, and I know that you are a man.
That is actually very advanced thinking these days.
I know.
A lot of people can't do that math, but yes.
Okay, so it's very clear, it's always been clear to us, that the man's body is ordered toward life-giving seed, and the woman's body is ordered to receiving, to open and receive that, and embrace it, and allow that life to grow in her. And let me just stop for the moment. Today, we as Catholics are celebrating the Feast of the Annunciation.
Yes, right.
Where God's spokesperson and the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, Mary, do you consent freely and fully and faithfully and fruitfully to let our Lord, to let the Holy Spirit overshadow you and do with you what he will? And she said, I do.
Yeah.
I do. These were marital, spousal words. And at that moment, at her free, full, faithful, fruitful consent, that marriage bond came into being. That spousal bond with the Holy Spirit came into being. This is when the marriage bond happens, at the altar, when the man and the woman exchange consent. And this is why it's important that we get the vows right.
And that, and all of those words then mean something more in this relationship than, especially fruitful. Because, I mean, there's many, many ways in which a marriage is fruitful.
Yes.
A marriage is a service to the whole world.
Yes.
But the primary way a marriage is fruitful is that it presents children to the world.
Well,
and to salvation.
And I would say at some times the primary way is.
Okay.
But most the fruitful is the love and the divine life and love, the life and love that comes from that union that's in line with God's life and love.
Yeah.
Because what if the babies don't come?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
right.
Okay. So here we are at the moment of consent. So we presume, here's the other thing, we presume that that guy and that gal know exactly what they're doing when they say, I do. And at that moment, the marriage bond, bing, it's there. We can't see it, but the church presumes it's there, and now it's unbreakable.
Because Christ, I mean, like you use Christ as the model, and since Christ is the model of the marital union, and his bond with us is unbreakable. There's nothing, I mean, that St. Paul teaches that clearly. There's nothing that can come between me and the Savior, nothing that can break that bond.
That's a scary thing and a beautiful thing, because really, if it is damaged, it's we who walk away. It's we who violate the bond. It's we who reject the love and the union that he calls us into. So yes, earthly and human marriage is an icon and kind of a doorway into that eternal marriage that all of us are called into. This is amazing stuff. Now let me ask you a question. You're at the church. You said your I do's.
Yep.
Now you have an unbreakable marriage bond.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
I'm going to Disneyland. Oh, wait, sorry.
So you go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
You get drunk, you pass out, and you
that's not how I go to Disneyland.
Okay. You do not consummate the marriage. Are you still married?
Yes, I think so.
Why? Do you have a marriage bond?
Oh, you're confusing me, Rose, because I think that the sign of the sacrament is the physical union of the...
It's consent. The marriage bond comes into being at the moment of consent.
So I was kind of right. I said, I think
okay,
I do.
No, I know.
You were scaring me that I was getting it wrong.
No, but you know what? This is, we don't think about these things. And that's what, thank you for the opportunity to talk about it today. So you are married. You have a valid, your presumed valid marriage bond is in existence and unites you. But your consent has been ratified, but not yet consummated.
Yeah.
So consummation in a lot of different ways is said to strengthen the marriage bond.
Mm-hmm.
But the marriage bond is already there. Amazing, isn't it?
Yes, as long as everybody intended to do sorry.
No, this is good that you said that. Okay, but there's another thing, not just intention. There's two things that are necessary for a valid marriage bond.
Yeah, you already said the other one. I'm not going to forget it. Consent.
No.
Oh.
Consent makes the bond.
Okay. So there's two things that are necessary
for consent.
Mm-hmm.
I have to really...
Oh, two things that are necessary for consent.
For consent, okay.
One of them is intent. Okay. I have to intend to do the thing.
I agree. I understand. Yes.
Right.
I'm all in.
Yes.
But the other one is capacity.
You have to be able.
You have to be able to live it out. You can't just want it really badly. And one of the sad examples I use sometimes in my classes is the one of Mary Kay Letourneau, if you remember, was a 20-something high school teacher who had sex with a sixth-grade boy. He was very mature for his age. They fell in love, and she went to jail. Even the state, he said he loved her and he wanted to marry her, but he was 13. Even the state, this is not even religious, the state would not issue him a marriage license because they understand he might be physically capable, but he's not mentally, emotionally, and otherwise capable of bearing the demands of married life.
We're talking about the marriage bond with Rose Sweet today. If you have questions about the Catholic understanding of the marriage bond, you are very welcome to call 888-318-7884. If the question is personal about your particular situation, that's fine too. 888-318-7884.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com. Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
You decide what we talk about
on our monthly unscripted show.
Tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. What a great Friday we got. We got Rose Sweet with us this hour. Next hour, we'll do the game show. We got two wonderful contestants. We got Carlo as our secret celebrity guest, and we are going to have fun. We're talking about the marriage bond. And, you know, Rose, you're here, and we talk about annulments. We talk about counseling. We talk about all these other aspects of marriage or of single life or whatnot. And as a matter of fact, this is the first time I think we've ever just gotten down to brass tacks and said, what is the marriage bond and what makes the marriage bond? If you understand the Catholic understanding of the marriage bond, you get a clear sense of why the Church says no to plural marriages. The Church says no to temporary marriages. The Church says no to same-sex marriages. And it all has to do with the fact that if Christ is the image of the bridegroom and the Church is the image of the bride, then we got to imitate that. And Jesus doesn't have two brides, and Jesus doesn't make a temporary commitment, and Jesus doesn't marry another groom.
Exactly.
So when we understand the marriage bond, when we understand the marriage bond and its relation to Christ and his Church, we get a sense of what it is for us.
And this is nothing deep and mysterious and ridiculous. Everybody, even kids, would understand this. The objections come...
Especially kids, frankly.
Yes.
Like the more we send them to school these days, the wackier they come back. But yeah, especially kids would understand this.
I know. It's just the objection comes from the human heart not wanting to be trapped, not wanting to be limited or restricted. Well, I'm a man and I have needs and I love my wife. I really do love my wife. But my dad has a mistress and my uncle does. And, you know, I love and care for my wife. I love her, but I have needs.
I hope that this is a performance you're doing.
No, hear this a lot from people.
Right, yeah, sad. Yeah.
And they're sincere in their pleading. Doesn't this make sense? And I say, no, this is not marriage. Yes, you do have a relationship. You have relationships with these people, but they are not marriage. That's the difference. And what we want is, in our culture, we want all the goods of marriage, but we don't want the responsibilities of marriage. We want all the rights, but not the responsibilities.
Yeah.
And that's what kids do. That's just childish. Yeah, sure. It's childish.
Right. Yeah. We've lost faith in it, too. I don't know if we lost faith in ourselves or we lost faith in people say, I don't believe in the institution of marriage. Well, what does that even mean? I don't believe in this. I don't believe in being faithful. I don't believe in being fruitful. I don't believe in being freely given to another person.
Well, no, when people say institution, that's the cold concrete steel building, right, with bars on the windows, and it's a cold institution, and there's a woman there with a big ruler and a man with a whip, and it's like it's over exaggerated, over emotional childishness.
Yeah.
This that's the beauty of being Catholic, is that everything that we profess to be true is common sense and can be understood on basic childlike level.
Here's the problem. Another problem, though. You give yourself freely and fully to someone for life. You intend to be faithful and fruitful in that relationship. That person is not going to be that great sometimes. I mean, there might even be whole years where that person is not, maybe even decades where that person is not that great.
Okay, so you said it. What we're doing is we're entering into and living out that one beautiful marriage of Christ in the church. Now, imagine Christ as the perfect bridegroom. Do you think we ever disappoint him, let him down, pull away from him, him names?
Knock it off, Rose. Yeah, no. Right, exactly.
Okay, so and even God the Father said this in the Old Testament through the prophets, we are an unfaithful bride.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't dump us, but he does say this. If you go down that path in our marriage, the door is always open to you, but you have to leave that garbage at the door. That's the difference. I want you in my embrace, but not when you bring your sin. Your sin cannot come into our relationship.
Yeah, because that's the unfaithfulness.
That's our infidelity. Yeah. And that's him being faithful to us, because if he allows us, this is like permissive parenting. If we allow somebody we love to bring all their sinful garbage into the relationship, we're not loving them.
No, not at all.
No, we're allowing them to go down and to be diseased and disordered and maybe...
You could be patient, but you can't be tolerant in the sense of this is...
Exactly.
This is how it's going to be.
That's the word. Yeah. Patient, you don't tolerate. God is totally intolerant of sin.
Yes, he is totally intolerant of sin. And people have a hard time with that because they don't realize what sin is. But if you say sin is being unfaithful to the most faithful, most generous, kindest, most beautiful, loving spouse, that's what every single sin is, then you kind of get it. We got a bunch of calls. You want to?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Jack in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Yeah, well, it's not a question. It's that, I met my wife a long time ago. I was in my 50s, and she was in her 50s. She's 3 years older. But we had a good time when we first got married. But the thing with this is that we willed each other to each other. And when you will somebody, yourself, to that person, that is the main person in your human life, not above God. God's number one. And if you make him number one, then he helps you with whatever you're going to be married and stay married with. Now, yeah, we had a good time, but now in our life, she's got all kinds of problems. She's got dementia real bad. She's got bad legs and everything else. And right now she's down in the nursing home. I go down every day. Mm. I bring her communion every day. I'm with her every day. And when I'm at home with her, when she was at home, I do all the cooking. I do all the cleaning. I dress her. I wash her. Mm. I do everything. Why? Because I willed myself to her with love. We are not two people, but one. What I do for her, I do for me. What she does for herself, she does for me. And that's the way a marriage should be. That's the way my father and my mother was. They were that way, and they showed their love. They weren't just separate. They showed us in front of our the kids, all five of us kids. They would roll back the rug and dance and sing in front of us. They would have a good time like that. And that's the way my parents were, and that's the way I am. So to find love and stay that way, first you've got to know that person before you meet them. Know everything about them. Just like you would want to know about Jesus Christ. What color is his eyes? What color is his skin? What kind of colors does he like? What kind of food do they like to eat? What places do they like to go? And that way you find out what they are and what you want to deal with.
Jack, I think you're doing Rose's job for her.
And this none of us could say that more beautifully, no. Jack. You have just given a voice to authentic Christ-like love, and God bless you, Jack. And your wife is a very blessed woman. I wish all marriages could be like that.
Well, I wish they were too.
Jack, I'm sure that many people are grateful to hear your call, but I'm sure many would like to pray for your wife. If you'd like to tell us her first name, we'd be happy to add her to our prayers.
Her name's Carmeline.
Carmeline. Jack and Carmeline.
She's Italian.
Well, you did. So you won the lottery, all right? thanks, Jack.
Yeah, you're welcome.
God bless you, Jack.
God bless you both, and God loves you both.
Well, thank you, Jack. Well, we got Pablo in California. Let's go to Pablo. I don't feel like taking another break. I'm enjoying if we get more callers like Jack, I want to do that.
Oh,
Pablo,
that was beautiful.
Right here in California, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Pablo, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Yeah, hello. How y'all doing?
Very well, thank you.
Hi, Pablo.
All right, praise be to God. But I have a question. So me and my spouse, we're civilly married, and we're in the process of getting our marriage, convalidated, I think is the word.
Yes, yes.
And me and her, like, we just came back from a retreat, and it was beautiful and all this. But from this to this day, we still have, like, disagreements on certain teachings. Like our priest told us, like, you know what, if you guys want to, like, take communion from now on, it's to live as brother and sisters. And she kind of, like, doesn't see it that way because she gets also like this, I guess, feedback from her coworker. They are Protestants, and they're like, oh, that's just really strict. And I feel like all this just goes into like her head where it's like, oh, how come these other churches aren't doing this and we are? And like, I try to reason with her, but I believe also what I'm trying to get at, how can I express why we believe such things?
Okay, wonderful, Pablo. Thank you.
Okay, this is easy and tough at the same time because, Pablo, I just want to lead with this. Okay, pretend you and I are sitting at the feet of Jesus right now, and he's trying to explain to us what the truths of, you know, heaven and earth and marriage and all that. We have the benefit of seeing his face and his expressions and listening to his words and being in his presence. Do you realize that people even who heard the truth from the lips of Jesus doubted him and even walked away from him and they challenged him? So we don't have the power on our own to convince the people we love of the truth of our faith. We do not have that power on our own. God has the power to come into their lives and help them get over the hurdle, and we can certainly ask for his help. At the same time, God will not even impose himself on your civil wife. She has that terrible and beautiful gift of free will that we all have. So your challenge is right now to pull apart, as your priest advised, because you are not married in the eyes of the church, and live as brother and sister, and you figure out, is this a woman I want to spend the rest of my life with? Are we on the same page on the most important things that matter to me? And you certainly can love this woman for the rest of your life, but marriage to somebody has higher demands than just a friendship or a loving relationship. Marriage is different, and you're at a nice crossroads where you can make the determination, do I want to enter into a marriage with this person freely, fully, faithfully, and fruitfully? And is she capable, and is she fully intending to enter into that kind of union with me? It sounds like on the surface of it, you have some big hurdles. Doesn't mean they can't be overcome. And I'm not trying to advertise, but you email me, rose@rosesuite.com, if you want a little free, helpful sounding board.
Pablo, what do you think?
That sounds, I guess, about what other people tell me too. I feel like it's for us. We weren't raised as Catholics, so all this is new to us. But I feel like.
Here's what I would do. If you wanted to engage in some kind of dialogue with her about the faith, don't try to convince her of the truth. Ask her what she doesn't like. Just lead with that. What is it you don't like? What is it you think that you understand that doesn't sit right with you and you don't like? Those are the issues that are in the way for her. So I'd go right to those.
Pablo, we're right up against the break, so we're going to take a break. But I'd like to send you a copy of Trent Horn's book, Why We're Catholic. If you want to hang on the line, I'll send it to you. It's just it might be another opportunity, the book, to discuss things, look at the whys of the various Catholic beliefs. And you're always welcome to call here, Pablo, but we have to do this break. The number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We're talking about the marriage bond, how Catholics understand the marriage bond, with Rose Sweet, who's always here. You know, you're always here talking to us, not always about marriage, but we always get on. Yeah, right. Yeah. So if you got a question about the Catholic understanding of marriage, about the marriage bond, your situation, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Imagine like Caravaggio was gonna do a painting of David Anders. You're sitting there getting ready to do this painting, and he takes his time. You're sitting there, you're like really excited about how it's gonna look, and then turns it around and it looks like Tom Price. Like, how would you feel about that?
That's a big improvement.
Wow.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders tonight, 11 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. It almost feels too mild to say that marriage is worth it. The rewards of marriage. I mean, I know that they're not always obvious, the rewards of marriage.
But goods of marriage are obvious.
Yeah,
you're right. The goods are obvious and desirable. The responsibilities are shunned, and the rewards are overlooked and underestimated. I agree.
The blessings are enormous. And we're discussing the marriage bond, the uniqueness of the marriage bond. That's really where you started, was with the uniqueness of the marriage bond.
As compared to all other beautiful, intimate, freeful, faithful, fruitful bonds with other human persons. And there are many.
Yeah.
But this is unique.
off the air. You're welcome to call, by the way, 888-318-7884 if you'd like to talk with Rose, 888-318-7884. And you know what? I want to make a special invitation because if you're – we mentioned about how young folks – I said young folks. You said all folks. There's a kind of terror of marriage right now. Or if you find yourself in that boat and you'd like to discuss it with Rose, we'd love to talk with you. But anyone's welcome to call. But if you find yourself in that boat, we would love to have that conversation. 888-318-7884. Esther couldn't stay on the line. She's listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio in Dallas, Texas. And she asked this, Rose, can you speak on the church's official teaching on people who want to get married but can't have kids because of age?
Beautiful question. So let's look at the basic principle of marriage. Marriage requires a man and a woman who are physically capable of the marital act, because that is a sign and participation. It consummates the marriage bond. Okay, so a man and a woman who are physically capable. That's why the church officially teaches that if a man is perpetually and antecedently, that means before marriage,
yeah,
and forever and ever, impotent, he's not capable of marriage, although he may really intend it. Even men who, and you know this, who enter into seminary to become priests, if they struggle with that, they are not allowed to become priests. And I know I'm going off on a tangent, but this is Christ the bridegroom again. This is another layer of that truth of the requirement and the demands. Demand sounds so harsh, but it is a demand. It's a requirement of marriage, of the marriage bond. So when two people get together and they have not intentionally thwarted the marital act, they haven't blocked it, done damage to it, violated it, or themselves, if it's just by nature they're old and they can't conceive, there's no sin in that. And the primary goal of the marital act is not children.
Rose is smirking at me slightly because I made that mistake earlier.
Okay,
that,
well, we were we were talking about it because words matter.
I worded things wrongly before, yeah.
Okay, but that's why we have to stop and think. Okay, if you're not fertile for the majority of the month, then and if that's true that we only have sex to have babies, then you should never be having sex until you know you can have babies. And that's not true. The marital act is intended to create union and bonding between the couple, and the fruit of that could be a beautiful child or not. Naturally, if the bodies are past the time of childbearing, you can still engage in the marital act and not violate it, and there no children will come. But yes, yeah, so that's the long way around. The teaching is that if you want to get married and you're old, go for it.
Thanks, Esther. I hope that was good news for you. I hope you weren't trying to get out of something. But thanks very much for the call and the question.
We just blew it if she was.
Yeah, I know. She was, oh, man. Nono in Indiana, watching on YouTube. If this is our old friend Nono, I am going to be shocked. Hello.
Yes, it is.
Nono, how are you? This is our very good friend, Nono.
Well, hi, Rose. It's so nice to hear from you.
I don't know if you know Nono, but she was born and raised in Nigeria. She once was someone
I
sent.
I met you at the conference, Rose.
I know. You know what? You need to come to California again this year to the conference at the end of September.
That's exactly right. But she never got the book that we sent her, and so she moved to the United States and became a student here. That's not exactly the true story, but it's roughly the outlines of the story.
Well, I moved so I could get the book. That's
is that why? But you studied theology. Is that right, Nono?
I was going to, haven't yet. I studied engineering, but I've been working. I studied theology personally, not academically.
I gotcha. So. All right. So, what brought you out of retirement as a Catholic Answers caller? What's your question for Rose?
Well, it's kind of the reason I'm calling again today. I got married.
Yay!
Congratulations!
That's
Thank
wonderful.
You. I went through school and then all of 2020 and just had to work on a whole bunch of things, and then I'm just starting to come out of the cave right now. I've been a hermit for a couple of years. So.
Oh, you've been in your honeymoon suite.
Oh, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, unfortunately, the rest of the world has, too, for the last 2 years.
But anyway, so it's providential that this is the topic today. So as Sally mentioned, I'm an African, and there are very many different African cultures and lots of different things that I learned while I was planning to get married, because all my life I was just raised Catholic, and that was my primary identity, and, you know, my, those were the rules I lived by.
Yeah.
And then I found some of the requirements, I want to say, of marriage, or some of the ways people viewed marriage were not completely in accordance with the Catholic Church, either morally or sometimes just practically, like on a legalistic sense. So, for example, in Nigeria, people would typically have like a Nigerian cultural wedding, and that's done before your church wedding. But then I found out in the U.S. that in Catholic Church outside of Nigeria, if you do any kind of marriage, even like a civil ceremony before your church wedding, then you can't get married in the church. You just get convalidated. So there's a whole bunch of different views and opinions and things like, so I'm not in a different religious group, but like I'm in a different culture that has very different views and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do we reconcile some of those differences? Because, you know, the things that, like, for example, a baptized Catholic who has, demanding obligations. Now, obviously, it's to the Catholic Church, but, like, your priority should be to the Catholic Church. But, like, helping people who are maybe not Catholic or who don't have the same kind of opinion to understand, or like to be gracious with them, so it doesn't seem like you're you know.
Oh, I think I know exactly what you're getting at. No.
To disagree with somebody.
Right, and more, the Catholic view of marriage is out of step.
Exactly.
All right, Rose.
No. You know, I have found myself in this position, too. You're so on fire and you're so convicted and you're so excited about what the church really teaches. And when you're in conversation with somebody and they don't get it or they don't want to get it, it's the natural response to gather them in and say, but listen, and to try to convince them. At the same time, I had to learn discernment if the person was truly open to what I had to offer, or if I was the one being called at that moment to give them that information, or what I was there in that situation. These are nuanced things that we have to discern. Even Jesus, this is where I always look when I'm scratching my head, okay, what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't try to convince everybody about the truth. He allowed them to question him. He engaged them. He gave them the answers. He asked them questions. But if they were shut down or argumentative, he let them walk away. Remember the story of the rich young ruler? So yeah. Jesus didn't chase after and say, hey, you have a different cultural view than I do, and let me give you one more example, or let me give you a pamphlet from Catholic Answers, you know, to explain things. I know. Jesus looked at him with love, Scripture says, and he let him go. He looked at him, and that's, I think, you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit and just keep practicing to discern, is this a time where I really share what I know about the truth of the Catholic view on marriage, or do I wait and see if that person is open or not? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, thanks so much for that. It's one of those things where it's you may know what to do, but in the moment, having to make that
But that's always the problem. Yeah. No, the music's playing. We got to go, but I want to send you a copy of my book, because you got married since we last spoke, but I wrote a book. So I know it's a lesser accomplishment, but I'd like you to have it. It's called A Teacher of Strange Things. And if you hang on the line, Edgar's going to get your information and we'll send it to you. We got to say goodbye to Rose. Sweet Rose, thank you again.
I can't believe the hour is over.
Rolled fast, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah, it's because we had Edgar in here for the first segment.
I know.
It took up some of your time.
Okay, good.
Carla Broussard coming up next. He's our secret guest. for the Catholic Answers Game Show. We're going to finish the week off with a great version of the game show with two very fine contestants. We'll do that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.